Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And if IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast, with me in Manchester here, the haymaker himself. David, how are we doing, mate? It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm not bad. Literally just got in today. Been out in Costa Rica for a little while. Having some fun out there. Connecting with the nature. The good energy, the beaches and sun. So getting back to cold Manchester is a bit of a shock to the system, but I've warmed up after that weigh-in just then. Really warmed up nicely.
You said beaches, sun, we forgot to mention women's.
What do you want to know?
You're living life.
Yeah, I always try to maximise when I can. And yeah, life's good at the moment. So more focused on the fight. And I've literally come in specifically for this fight. Chris has been a good friend of mine for many years, and this is the big one. I know people thought it was the Ben fight, but this is a significantly tougher fight. Smith is a legitimate, you know, former world champion. He's here to win. I know what it's like to fight a Scouser. I did it for my last two pro fights and lost both of them. You know, Tony Bellew bettered me on two occasions, and going into both of those fights, I was supremely confident. I didn't think I needed to be at my best to win, but I did. So I'm here to say to Chris, you know, I know you're talking, you know, he's 45-50% to beat Smith, but he could be the boogeyman. He could be the banana skin. And I think the styles are going to gel really well. And I'm actually a little worried. I'm a little worried about this fight. It's, you know, I haven't really been hearing too much, you know, rumblings that it's going to be a tough fight. You know, a lot of people are saying that Chris is going to cruise it. If he's at 100%, then yeah, okay. But if we're talking 50, 60%, you know, against Liam Williams last time, I don't think that performance would be enough against Smith. I don't think it would be. So I'm hoping that Roy and Ronnie have really been on him, making sure that he's got more than 50, 60% out in the gym, as it was a little bit worrying hearing that.
Seems like the mind games continue today. He wore a Man United t-shirt. Obviously, we know Liam's a proud Liverpool fan. He also wore the kind of rainbow armband. Just want to go back to, obviously, yesterday. I'm sure you saw clips or watched the press conference yesterday. A lot of things were said by both fighters. One of the things that, you know, Liam said was regarding his sexual preference. Does he prefer men or women? He didn't say those words, but he alluded to those words. You know Chris. You've known him for a long time. I know you play poker and you go out and party together, but which way is Chris?
Well, if he's gay, I'm gay. You know, he's about as gay as I am, so it's not a... It's a bit of banter back and forth. You know, I'm not sure what they're... just trying to maybe get under Chris's skin. I know he keeps his private life private. And he likes to keep it that way. So people, you hear that in years gone by, fighters who've been quite undercover with their movements, they get tarred with saying that they're gay when they're not.
something that Chris said to Liam was that, you know, I know from sources that you cheat on your missus.
Yeah, once again, it's banter to try to rile the other guy. And I think they're both too professional to let it get under their skin. You know, digging out is cheating movements. You know, maybe Liam struck that match if they want to start going back and forth. Hopefully, all the talking's done now, and it's about getting in there and actually figuring out who is the best. I know Chris is supremely confident. I talked to Roy earlier, to Ronnie. They said he's in tip-top shape, but is he mentally, physically? Yes. I've never seen him out of shape, but does he believe going to the ring that this is going to be the toughest fight of his life? I don't know. It's unknown. I'm gonna have a proper sit down and chat with him just to make sure he's tuned in, because I know from personal experience, you can walk in 100% confident, not being what you think you need to beat the best in the world, and you can come unstuck. So let's hope that doesn't happen.
Chris Eubank Jr. also said that he thought Tony Bellew was the worst gasser to come out of Liverpool, but he said that spot's now been taken by Liam Smith. Has it been that bad?
Has what been that bad?
This whole rivalry, obviously, yourself and Tony Bellew, we saw the press conference, you know, you threw a punch, he pushed you, shove, etc. We haven't really seen this. It's just almost just verbals and...
It's verbal, yeah. Yeah, me and Bellew was a special mix of beef. That was nice. He came up trumps, and you know, we get on great now. We've always really got on great, but obviously when it comes time comes time for pay-per-view events, you know, people like the drama, they like the razzmatazz of it all. They love the pushing and shoving, but yeah, this one's been quite tame. I just think the fight itself, I think Liam's style is just very, very rock solid. And he doesn't do anything that bad. You can't pick big holes in his game. And he's taken someone as good as Canelo to expose it. It's the only real person that's been able to expose him. But Canelo is there. You know, if Chris can grind him down and stop him, or stop him anyhow, that would be a massive, massive, you know, it will show the world where he's at. It will put him in that elite line.
You said earlier that if he fights the same fight when he fought Liam Williams, he doesn't come through this. So I say he
will struggle. And, you know, in these fights against guys who are top 10, you want to be able to do what Canelo does and just get rid of them and make it, or Roy Jones. How would Roy Jones get rid of him? He'll just completely put on a masterclass. If Chris is what we all believe he is, he'll be able to do it. But 60% of him is going to be a bit hard to do it. We need 100% of Chris to give us these masterclasses.
Also, stylistically, do we need him? Is Chris going to need to be what Chris is known to be, that aggressive, come forward, throw combination 6, 7, 8 punches at a time? Or does that jab? Do you like that? Do you like what you see?
Whatever gets him to the finishing line. Some fighters, you've got to rough them up early. You've got to get them behind. On the point, some fighters you don't mind giving the first round away because you're going to come on strong. It depends on what his game plan is. I haven't been inside his camp, so I don't know what he's been working on. I haven't been watching his sparring, so I'm unaware of what he's going to bring to the table. But if he listens to Roy, who knows, and listens to Ronnie, who have both got a wealth of experience, you know, inside and outside of the ring, he should find a strategy to win this fight. But physically, I believe he's superior. Speed, timing, rhythm. The fact that he can just, I've seen him, I've sparred with him before, I've watched many sparring sessions years and years ago with George Groves, his engine's so big and so strong, he can just keep grinding. And I think that's going to be a massive difference here, the physicality, where Chris can just throw a 30-40 punch combination. It sounds crazy. Very few people do that at this level, but somehow he knows how to recharge and come again. So, no, but technically, he can't be getting nailed with that jab. You know, that left hook, he needs to be thinking about what's coming his way, opposed to just throwing everything at Liam.
When he stepped up, because you went junior in the past, he's come short, George Groves, Billy Joe Saunders. We know, obviously, the Degale fight. Degale was probably past his best. If he doesn't come through this on Saturday night, is that world title ambitions out the door for him?
It won't help one bit, you know, it won't help one bit. He needs to win, and more importantly, he needs to win and look good. And I believe this is the opportunity against Liam Smith, who is in shape. He's prepared. You know, the fight got delayed a little bit, so his preparation was even better. So this is his opportunity, and every fight gets that chance to springboard into the big time, and this is it. Pay-per-view event, Manchester. He's got everything going for him in this fight. The only thing he doesn't is he's got Chris Eubank Jr. in the other corner. But as far as he's concerned, he seems super confident. His team seems super confident. And I'm expecting fireworks. This is going to be a very, very competitive fight. As long as it lasts, it'll be very, very competitive.
Final prediction?
I think Chris is as good as I believe he is. I've always believed he's had that special. He's got that X factor. You know, when things are tough, he'll find a way to bring it through. I think this is where it all comes to fruition. I remember the Billy Joe Saunders fight. You know, he let the first half fight go, then he came back and won. You know, stylistic, strategic issues. You know, even with George, if you look at that last round, you know, George was holding on. It was his arm went. So he's nearly done it both times. It wasn't like he was completely battered in any of those fights. So maybe that they was his learning fights. Maybe he learnt from the Saunders fight and learnt from the Gross fight, and now is a more complete fighter. Now I learnt from my losses. You know, all the losses I've had, I've learnt from them, and I become better. So this is going to be the best version of Chris. I think we'll see.
Live and exclusive on Sky Box Office pay-per-view. We look forward to it on Saturday night. David, before I let go, just a couple other things. I haven't spoken to you for a while. Bit of a cloud over boxing at the moment with this whole Conor Benn situation. Yeah. Obviously failed the drug test. He was supposed to fight Chris Eubank Jr. back in October. They were confident that he was going to be back in the ring, or there's going to be some sort of resolution but before the end of December, and still till this day
unresolved.
What have you made of the whole situation?
I know it seems very, very strange. I remember at the time, you know, when it was all kicking off, I really felt for Chris. You know, he's, you know, I've known him for a while, and receiving the information through the press about a failed drug test, and as far as I'm aware, the fight's still going on, although there was a failed drug test, and it didn't feel like at all that he had someone backing him. It didn't feel like he had someone, because he self-managed. So, you know, a promoter is there to... there to perform and get paid a fee. Sometimes the boxer promoter relationship, when things go bad or when things don't go the way you want, you find out, you know, where people's hearts lie. And the fact that there was a version of reality where he could have got in the ring and fought someone who had failed legitimate drug tests, and he could have been killed. He was coming down in weight, he's boiling down in weight. So if there's ever a chance for Chris Eubank Jr. to have an incident, it'll be when he's weight drained, because that's when the brain injuries happen. And if that would have happened, is everybody then a conspiracy to attempted murder or manslaughter? Or, you know, it all got really murky really quickly. And I really felt for Chris, because, you know, he's a fighter. I know what it's like. You just want to get there and fight. You don't care what anyone else is doing. You're just thinking about yourself. But at some stage, you need somebody impartial to go, oh, hold up. No, this isn't fair. We've signed up for this thing, and we all done the drug test. You failed it over here. So obviously that we can't move forward with it until this is dealt with. And it wasn't dealt with. So it was really... that I really felt for Chris in that situation, because if he was to say, I'm not doing it, everyone would go, oh, you're ducking him. He hasn't really failed it, or he failed it. Because I don't know what's happening. I don't know whether he's guilty or he's innocent. All I know was what I've been told through the media and from the British Border Control, which they said they wouldn't sanction it. So they're not sanctioning it for a reason. And then they were looking at doing another sanctioning body. I've done that in the past with Luxembourg, with me and Derek Chisora. So I know, but there was no issues there. That was more of the Derek Chisora's issues in the ring, and I was retired. But, you know, I'm hoping we get some sort of resolution to that mess. because it looked really, really bad for boxing. I had so many people contacting me saying, what the hell's going on? So if you failed a drug test, you're still allowed to do it. And if it wasn't for the PR and press, the fight would have went ahead. And I'm like, yeah, kind of. It looked like that. But I don't know. It just looks horrible. It's horrible, horrible for boxing. So hopefully tomorrow night we're going to... That'll be in the past. And then I'm not even sure what's happening with the Ben fight, whether there's a hearing, or normally there's a hearing, but I don't know.
It's an ongoing investigation. WBC are still going through that, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. I just want to just clarify what you said. Are you insinuating that there were promoters like Khaled Salen, who promotes Chris Eubank Jr., and Eddie Hearn, that were trying to continue with the fight and not looking the best interest of Chris Eubank Jr.?
You've got to remember, the promoter isn't there. The promoter's there. I've been in boxing for 20 years. Boxing promoters are there to generate as much money as possible. The fight needs to happen for them to generate. They invest money in the fighters, signing on bonuses. They pay wages to fighters. They pay for the whole team. So it's a business. Forget their human beings involved. They consider it a business. Just like if you're racing horses, they're assets. The fighters are assets. So you've got to understand that boxing promoters... They run businesses, and the least they give the fight, the more they have. The fight goes on, the more money they have. The fight doesn't happen, the money goes down. So as long as you not understand that that's what boxing promotions are, you understand it. But you do need somebody around the fighter to protect him from how boxing promoters usually do business. You know, it's been a shady business, has been for many, many years. I've seen it from all angles. I've been a boxing promoter myself. I've been all around the game, and there needs to be someone who is genuinely looking out for the fighter, because you know you can't rely on the person who's making money out of you. You know, it's one thing getting a percentage of a fighter, and the bigger you make the pot, the more you get, or you can sign away your rights and then it's up to them to maximise it. There's so many different elements to the game that kind of make me sick a little bit. But it's the game. It was like that when I came into it 20 years ago, and it's still going to continue being it. As long as the fights get made, as long as the fighters aren't in unnecessary danger, and we try to minimise the amount of danger that fighters are in, the better. You know, nobody wants... It's not in anyone's business for people to get injured in this game. But if you're focusing on the pound note too much, sometimes, you know, oversights can be made and terrible things happen. So just try and minimise that. That's what the British Boxing Board of Control are involved in this game, to make sure that there is no... that is unnecessary danger. So, yeah.
David, just quick fire on the heavyweight division. Anthony Joshua looks like he's moving to America now to train with Derek James. Not official, but obviously strong rumours. He's going to have potentially a new trainer for a third consecutive fight. You've changed trainers from Adam Booth to Shane McGuigan. He's moving countries and trainer. What have you made of the whole situation? And do you think it'll suit him?
I don't know. I haven't seen him work with a coach. If I sat down and watched him work with a coach, I don't know too much about his coach, but... You know, if I was to sit down and watch him, I'll be able to tell you. I can't tell you from looking at him. Maybe it's the best thing he's ever done in his life. Maybe it's the worst thing. We don't know. You know, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. And when he gets in the ring, let's judge him on what he does. You know, obviously what he did the last couple of fights against Usyk wasn't enough. He wasn't able to pull the trigger. He wasn't able to use his physical advantages and just got outboxed by a better boxer. So let's hope this coach teaches him or... unlocks the rough guy inside, and because I know he's got it. I know he's got it in there. He's pulled it out from the early doors, from the early days when he used to let his hands go. He used to let him go with some real spice. He's tried to. It looks from the outside looking, he's trying to be too technical, and you know it's like trying to teach George Foreman to box long. It's like, no, just get out there and just let your hands go. Do what you do best, and yeah. So hopefully it works out. You know, he's a tremendous. Heavyweight, obviously one of the best in the world, but he needs to get back into his winning ways. So the sooner he can get back in there, you're only as good as your last fight. His last fight was a points loss. Let's get a knockout victory and he can keep it moving.
Fury Usyk looks like it's edging closer. Good for boxing. We finally need to see this undisputed.
It's amazing. It's amazing for boxing. That's the fight the fans are clucking for. That's the one that we've all wanted. I'm not going to get too excited just yet. You said it's coming closer. It's been, you know, I'm not going to get too excited, But if it does happen, it will be a beautiful fight, and you'll have two completely different styles. You know, a lot of people obviously favour Fury, the bigger man. You know, but Usyk also, cruiserweight champion, the way he dealt with AJ. You know, Fury's never fought AJ, so you know I'd say it's a 50-50 fight. But you have to edge towards Fury because he's not a good big one beats a good little one. But Usyk keeps surprising people. I thought he was going to get beat by AJ, and he proved me wrong on two separate occasions. And he's the real deal. You know, like Holyfield, he finds a way to win.
But just finally, last one for me, promise. Francis Ngannou, former UFC heavyweight champion, obviously he has been released from his contract, wants to come into boxing, has named Joshua, has named Tyson Fury. I know you've seen a little bit of him, but can he replicate what he did in the UFC in the boxing ring?
He's a bit different. UFC and boxing, very different. He's got some good hands. He's a very, very big, powerful specimen. I'd like to see him and Derek Chisora, to be honest. I think that'd be a great fight. If he wants to dip his toe into the heavyweight boxing realm, you know, he can fight somebody who went 12 rounds with Tyson Fury, who's the number one. You know, can he get Derek Chisora out there any quicker? That'd be a good target. That'd be a good way to say to the world, yeah, I'm here in this heavyweight division, jump straight in the top 10 fighter, someone who pushed Usyk all the way to the limit. I think if he wants to do that, that's an easy fight to make. You know, I'm sure Derek Chisora will be over. That'd be a huge, huge fight. And it'll be, I'm sure Ngannou will be confident he could win that one. But, you know, Derek Chisora keeps churning. He keeps going.
David, big massive Q. Appreciate your time as always, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow after the fight, I'm sure.
Definitely.
David Hare, IFL TV, thank you very much.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.